Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Psalm 104, verses 24 to 34. Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, great and wide, creeping things innumerable are there, living things both small and great. There go the ships, the Leviathan that you formed to sport in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in earth, and it trembles, who touches the mountains, and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Our New Testament reading comes from the book of Acts, verses 2, 1 through 8, and 14 through 34. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man handed over to you according to the divine and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having released him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, "He was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption." This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received him from the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you see and hear. For David did not ascend to the heavens, but he himself says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand." The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. What is the iPhone's favorite football team? The Chargers. Very good. I don't know who said that, but good job. Two roommates squabble over the only phone charger in the house. One punches the other square in the face. The cops show up. How appropriate. He's charged with battery. Two car salesmen were talking to each other about their sales. They were really impressed with the commissions they were making with electric cars. And then one of them asked, "Why doesn't Dodge sell any electric vehicles?" And the other salesman said, "Oh, that would be dumb. If they sold electric vehicles, they would have to give away a free Dodge Charger with every purchase." Considering this morning's things, that I'm just ironic. We all depend on chargers for far more than we admit. Your phone's at 2%, panic. Charger missing, emotional damage. Somehow this tiny cable controls our moods, our productivity, and social lives. And it's so frustrating when the chargers come in different sizes, and you might not have the right charger to access the size of the brand that you have. Well, the first followers of Jesus were just one brand of Jew. They were all Galileans. They weren't the most highly educated residents of Jerusalem, and most people expected their language abilities to be limited. But God was at work on a surprising design. And the book of Acts tells us, and Larry, this is the part I didn't have you read. I spare all of my liturgists on Pentecost from this paragraph, okay? The book of Acts tells us that there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. Yes, there were Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. You're welcome. Lots of variety. And they had come together to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, which was focused on God's gift of the law to the Israelites. And suddenly from heaven there came the sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. God was determined to fill them with power. And the Holy Spirit came like the rush of a violent wind, like the wind from God that swept over the face of the waters on the first day of creation. The Spirit danced with divided tongues as a fire, like the burning bush that revealed God to Moses, a bush that was blazing, and yet it was not consumed. The Galilean disciples began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability, making it possible for them to communicate with devout Jews from every nation. The Holy Spirit was a universal charger. It filled them all. It empowered them all. Now, in science class years ago, most of us learned that in order for an electrical charge to flow from a wall circuit into a light bulb and make the bulb glow, there has to be a complete circuit. The common two-pronged electrical plug is an example of that. In order for a lamp to work, power has to flow into it from one of the prongs and return again through the other. You cause a break anywhere in the circuit. A frayed wire, a broken filament in the bulb, insufficiently screwed in, and you'll have no light, no power. Well, the miracle of Pentecost is like that. God prepares spiritual power to flow into creation, but no inspiration will take place if the circuit is not completed. We need to position ourselves in such a way that that connection is made. Had the Jesus followers not been all together in one place, ready for something miraculous to happen, there would have been no miracle, at least not in that place and time. So the first and essential step, or first essential action of the spiritual life, is showing up. The same Spirit is available to us today, and it is charging us, the first followers of Jesus. Our challenge is to receive what the Spirit wants to offer us, and then to share that divine energy with others. Now, first, the Spirit is a creative force in our lives. Just as the wind of God was a creative power in the making of the heavens and the earth. In Acts, the spirit of the Christian community, which is why Pentecost, in Acts, the Spirit creates the Christian community, which is why Pentecost is often referred to as the birthday of the church. Now, notice that the Spirit's power is poured out on a collection of believers. It's not an individualized, personalized gift from God. It's the mark of a people belonging to God. I mean, we tend to have an individualistic view of faith, especially here in the United States, and many people talk about having a personal relationship with Jesus, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what is created by the Spirit on Pentecost is a distinctive and powerful community faith. The challenge for us as the Christian community is to be simultaneously both one and many. This means that we are one in our worship of the triune God, Creator, Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, or sanctifier. But we are many in our expressions of the faith because we come from a wide variety of backgrounds. We need to remember that the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost to a diverse collection of believers, and that this Spirit created something new and powerful. It created the Christian community. It created the church, the body of Christ. Next, the Spirit shows us that God is right in front of us. Just as the fire of the burning bush told Moses that God was present in his life, on Pentecost, divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. The fire was impossible to ignore, and it brilliantly showed that the power of God was with them. Such fire is nothing new in Holy Scripture. When God liberated his people from captivity in Egypt, the Lord went in front of them as a pillar of fire. Then the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. When the prophets Elijah and Elisha, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. The prophet Isaiah promises the Lord will come in fire and his chariots like the whirlwind. And in a vision in the book of Revelation, John says the eyes of Christ will be like a flame of fire. Pillar of fire, devouring fire, a chariot of fire, a flame of fire. What unites these blazing sights? All are signs of the presence and power of God. Again and again, God comes into the middle of human life and appears to us. Now, sometimes these appearances are brilliant, like tongues of fire on the day of Pentecost. Sometimes they are more subtle, like the squeeze of a hand or an encouraging word, an expression of forgiveness, a statement of love. But whether God comes in a blazing fire or in warm words, God is present and powerful. People who work in customer support for appliance companies can relate no end of anecdotes about bewildered callers whose appliances don't work as expected. And the support people have learned to ask some very, very basic questions first about matters that have nothing to do with any defect in the device. Is it plugged in? Is the circuit breaker tripped? Have you put in fresh batteries? And a great many service calls begin with an irate customer first. And it doesn't matter how well an appliance is designed or constructed. If it's not connected to the power source, it's just a doorstop. And so too with our spiritual lives. The promise of Pentecost is that God is with us, always with us. And this is true for all Christians, not just those labeled Pentecostal or charismatic. It echoes the promise made when Jesus was given the name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is our universal charger, giving us the healing and the help that we need in every time and place and situation. And finally, the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to communicate with people of every race and culture, just as it enabled the first followers of Jesus to connect with the diverse Jews of Jerusalem. The Apostle Peter quickly discovered that the gift of the Spirit was not a private gift to him. It was given to him so that he could share God's deeds of power with others. In the words of the late great theologian Walter Brueggemann, Pentecost is God's response to the power failure of the world. Taking a bold stand, Peter announced to the people of Jerusalem, "In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Yes, the Spirit was coming to fill not just Peter and the disciples and the other followers of Jesus, but a diverse group of sons and daughters, young men and old men, and even men and women who were slaves. All of the cultural barriers that had previously existed were breaking down. "And now," said Peter, "everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Holy Spirit wants us to break down barriers and to share God's energy with others. The book of Acts challenges us to be a universal charger, connecting us with people who are radically different from ourselves. The Holy Spirit remains a creative force in the world, one that is continuing to form the Christian community. The flame of God's presence is always with us, working lives, and the Spirit pushes us to reach outward to every race and nationality, sharing divine energy with others. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.